Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Stand to your feet, remain standing, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Isn't God good? Oh, y'all don't act like y'all believe it. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read as we are resting on our feet. The first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of how many things? Through whom also he made the world. Verse 3, he is the radiance of his glory. That's good news. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. Upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. As you are taking your seat, just say, not like any other. Go ahead and have a seat. Not like any other. Y'all get where y'all need to get to. Not like any other. We've been working through our text. We've come to verse 3 of our text. We are continuing to concretize the supremacy of Jesus. And in this work, we have determined that there are 5 points in this verse that demand our attention. Y'all right? Y'all got y'all's pens warmed up? 5 phrases that speak to the preeminence of Jesus, not only as someone who was great, but as the greatest. The preeminence of Jesus as the great I am, the bright and morning star. Some would call him the lily in the valley. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. The rose of Sharon. Yeah, that's old. Yeah, I can remember my grandfather rocking in his chair. Had a whole lot to say about this man named Jesus. Scripture would say, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Huh? It says he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Said the government is on his shoulders. The government's on his shoulders. And so we have 5 things in this verse, verse 3 there. That he's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He made purification of sins, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We have already come to understand in those first 2 phrases that Jesus is the light and not simply a reflection of the light. Amen. Jesus is the facsimile or the essence, the nature of God in human form. We've come to understand that he's called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And the truth is, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we should daily embody this light. The bottom line, people of God, is we have a responsibility sit around like bumps on the log if you want to. But Jesus has done too much for us to sit there like we ain't got stuff to do. Amen. 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 So we come to the third phrase in our verse. We see it there on the screen. He upholds all things by the word of his power. How many things?
All.
Now, let me be honest. Lord, I done forgot to start this timer. This is y'all's fault. Extra time. Let me say this. I believe, this is the phrase I wanted to start preaching with. He upholds all things. I've been wanting to preach this since last year. It's one of those things that we look at and we go, okay, and you keep moving. He upholds all things by the words of his power. Okay, and you keep moving. It's one thing when we look at the person and work of Jesus as confined to space and time. For instance, Jesus did great things back then. That's one thing. When you look at the person and work of Jesus as confined by space and time, he was a great man who walked historically. But everything, listen to what I'm about to say. Everything Jesus said is still under enforcement. Let that sit for a second. Everything Jesus said is still under enforcement. One more time. Everything Jesus said is still under enforcement. His voice doesn't fade. And therefore, everything he spoke still has power. Now, I understand that some of us may be saying, oh, well, what is that? What does that mean? Jesus is king. Do we agree? Do we agree with that phrase, Jesus king? You know, king of kings, lord of lords. Y'all in the room? Now, maybe you don't understand how kings and kingdoms work. But everything that comes out of a king's mouth is law. So if you ever seen those movies where they would come in at the decree of the king and they'd open the scroll. Okay, just because he said it, it became law. You're walking with me. Jesus is a king. The only way to overthrow the decree of a king is the king has to stop being king. Somebody else got to be the king in his place. Or you got to find another king with greater authority to overthrow the king. Now, last time I checked, couple things I got to say. Number one, Jesus is alive. Okay, see? He is risen just like he said he would. Therefore, we need no replacement kings. Are y'all walking in here? We don't need no replacement kings. Jesus is still good. That's number one. Number two, there is no greater authority. Who gonna tell Jesus what to do? I'll give it to you in 2024. Who gonna check him? Who gonna look at Jesus like, I'm sure he's just sitting up there like, are you sure you wanna do this? Are you sure you wanna go here with me? Huh? And so the reality is, this is good news, because there is nobody greater. His voice is not like any other. See, the decrees of kings in the earth fade when they do. Okay. Let's talk about the United States. We have this new thing in the United States. It's been around forever, but these last few presidents seem to like them. They call it executive orders. These last few presidents that we've had, they really like the executive order thing, because they just get to just do stuff. They just get to just because they said so. I don't know if you paid attention or not, but the first day in office, they hadn't even got out the inauguration good. And our former president, Donald Trump, was in the office, and he had a stack of executive orders. And he pulled out his Sharpie. He pulled out his Sharpie and he just. And so all of a sudden, one stroke of his pen, rule, rule, because he's the federal head, that one signature made law. So his term's over. And then here come our current president. And so he had him a stat. His first day in, they bring his stat. He grabbed his pen out. Undo. Undo. Right? Because the decrees of the president fade when their authority fades. You no longer in office, your decree can lose its juice. However, I love the good news of the scripture. Jesus is still with us. He's very much in authority. Therefore, none of his decrees have faded. Look at the main text. He's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds how many things? All things by the word of his power. So it's just right there. He upholds. Write it in your notes. He upholds. He upholds. Write it in your notes. He upholds. It means to keep or maintain in an unaltered condition. See, right there, I want to be done right there, Elder Lila. To keep or maintain in an unaltered condition. It also means to cause to remain or to last. So you mean to tell me that his voice keeps stuff in an unaltered condition? So that means when the Lord speaks over you, come what may. Lord, I'm trying to make it through my notes. Y'all hear me? Come what may. His voice keeps me in an unaltered condition. I don't care nothing about what the enemy trying to throw at me. If I have a promise over my life, his voice ain't like no other voice. It cannot fade away. It does not deteriorate. I stay unaltered because the king is still on the throne. Amen. He upholds, he maintains. That means he can maintain your health in an unaltered condition, y'all. He can maintain your mind in an unaltered condition. Stuff is coming at you, huh? And trying to get you to lose your cool, and you want to slap taste out the mouth of your coworker. You act like you ain't never wanted to backhand your coworker. I'm in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost slap. You ain't never felt like that? No? Some of y'all lying. But he will keep you. I was writing these notes, Elder KP, I was writing these notes, and all I kept hearing was, he's a keeper. I know that's old school music. Some of y'all don't understand. He's a keeper. Even when you don't want to keep yourself. Some of us in this room have tried to mess up and couldn't. Like, I'm about to go in tonight. Car wouldn't start. I'm about to act up tonight. Didn't work. Nobody came pick you up. I'm about to get drunk tonight. Got all the way to the bar. Didn't have your wallet. He's a keeper. So he upholds, he maintains in an unaltered condition by the words of his power. Watch, by the words of his power, by the words, the rhema of his dunamis. By the rhema of his dunamis. By the rhema of his dunamis, or the ability belonging to his declaration. I'm going to hold everything together because I said so. Yeah, y'all ain't never had no mama like that. Why? Because I said so. But I said so. See, when the Lord speaks, there is something different about his voice. When the Lord speaks, there are things that cannot help but respond. This is like Jesus when the winds and the waves were like, we cool. We don't want no problems. We don't want no problems. This is even, because watch this. When the Lord speaks over you, you get to command what he has command over. They didn't even hear that. It's like Moses. Moses didn't have any inherent authority over the Red Sea, but the one who sent him did. So it wasn't because Moses was good that the Red Sea parted. It's because he was operating under the decree of a king who still had authority, who told him, lift up your rod. It's the same thing that happened when they were at war in the valley. The Bible says as long as Moses' hands was up, they prevailed. When his hands came down, they began to lose. Not because Moses was good, but because the king who he was under. Do y'all not understand that a good king makes sure that everybody in their kingdom eats? A good king makes sure that everybody in their kingdom is well clothed, well fed, well taken care of. A good king goes to war for the people in the kingdom. Y'all, the king will literally arm the trained men for battle, go to war on the behalf of the protection of the people in his kingdom. And if the Lord is my king, I'm worried about what again? So when you have a word about your situation, when you can locate your victory among his promises, somebody say, I got a guarantee. Now, how do I know this to be true? Bishop, I hear you and all, that's good, but you got to prove it. Cool, Numbers 23, let's do it. Numbers 23, verse 19. Come on, run fast, write it in your notes. Numbers 23, verse 19, it's on the screen. Are y'all ready? Here it is. God is not a man. We should be able to, let's go home. It's right there. That's enough verse for me, but I'll keep reading. Now, while this is on the screen, let me give you context, because some of y'all still flipping in your Bibles and your digital devices. In this particular context of this verse, we got a situation. And the situation is God had already said something. And the king was like, tell God to change his mind. And the prophet was like, yeah, I can't do that. And then he was like, no, go back to God, because I don't like what you say. And the prophet's like, I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Yeah. And then finally the prophet said, let me break this down to you. First of all, God is not a man. Yeah. I wish that was just God is not a man exclamation point. But let's just read it the way it is. God is not a man that he should lie. Nor the son of man that he should repent. Look at the prophet. Has he said it? And will he not do it? These are rhetoricals. Or has he spoken? And will he not make it good? Can y'all just hear it in his voice? Like, he's like, in other words, the prophet, Deacon Sanders, is almost like he's saying, I don't know who you're talking to. Has he said it? And like, where they do that at? And will he not do it? Has he spoken it? And will he not make it good? You acting like God is like us. Then he says, look, verse 20. Come on. Behold, I have received, this is the prophet talking, a command to bless. And when do y'all see that he? Capital H, personal pronoun. He, when God has blessed, I cannot revoke it. That's the prophet. He like, look here. I received a command to bless. And once God has done the blessing, ain't nothing I can do. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Once the blessing has been pronounced, it's a wrap. Once the bless, because listen, we think that God pronounces blessing and like us, take it back. But that would mean, watch this, that would mean that God don't know what you're going to do. If we believe that God retracts the blessing, then what we also say is that we believe that he's not omniscient. Because if God retracts the blessing over something I'm going to do, why would he give it to me when he already knows I'm going to do it? So he gives it to you, and the prophet like, I can't take that back. You better take that up with God for yourself. He ain't like, I don't know what kind of kings you used to, but his voice ain't like no other voice. Now I want y'all to think about that over your own life, because some of us are walking through life like the Lord took it back. Just not happy, walking around with that woe is me. You better lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lord's like, what I said before, I still mean that. But I messed up. The Lord's like, I know. Go and repent about that and let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. There is something that we can see. Even in this, he withholds or upholds all things by the words of his power. When he says it, it's locked in. This is something that we can see all around us. All around us, we get the opportunity to see that God's voice is not like any other voice. Prove that, Bishop. Okay, I will. Truth is, scientists don't understand how this world is held together. No, for real. They don't get it. Oh, yes, they do. I took chemistry and physics. Watch. The basic building block of all matter is called the atom. I'm not trying to get deep, but y'all need to understand how good God is. The basic building block of all things is the atom. Mm-hmm. And in that atom, you got protons, you got neutrons, some electrons, and they're all in there. This is the nucleus, these things make up atom, then make up stuff. Are y'all with me? Atoms make up things. And in the atoms, they got protons, neutrons, electrons. Are y'all here? Here's the issue. Are y'all ready? That shouldn't work. But science told us two positive charges shouldn't be able to connect to each other. Try it with magnets. Two positives? Mm-mm. They should repel. Because in the cell, opposites attract. Oh, come on here. That's why some of y'all connected to people, because you're moving without a word. My scientist over here, she's looking at me. She real smart with science. She do all chemistry and stuff and make stuff blow up. And so y'all hear me. When you're moving without the word of God, you're forced, watch this, to be connected only to your opposites. Oh, let's teach today. Okay, are y'all with me? But in a cell, when it's moving the way God wants, you got the protons connecting to each other. They're not supposed to connect. You got the neutrons connecting to each other. And they all in there. Because God said so. Well, how you know that? Watch this. The more they dug into the cell, they got to a point where they said, what's holding all this together? And they were like, we don't know. They called it a force. And they actually call it the great force. It's a force greater than any other force. And one scientist said, all I can call it is atomic glue. Gluon. Seriously. He said, I don't know why these two things that ain't supposed to be next to each other is next to each other, but something stronger than them is holding them together. Because they're not supposed to be there. So in other words, everything that exists on earth would fall apart without a force that they can't measure. They went into the cell and they said, let's see if we can determine the mass or the weight of the gluon. They said, it ain't got none. How much does it weigh? Nothing. But we know it's moving faster than the speed of light. So inside of a cell, there is some glue moving faster than the speed of light, holding everything together because it's bigger than everything around it. And the scientist said, just call it glue. Because we don't know how that's happening. Okay, y'all still not, y'all still... Okay, I'm trying to be as clear as possible. Here we go. This is water. Okay, chemical element H2O. Y'all with me here? H2O. Okay, hydrogen has one proton. So I know I got two elements of hydrogen. That means I got two protons. Right there, water shouldn't work. Because two protons together, the water should just fall apart. But I got two parts hydrogen, and then I got another part oxygen. But oxygen got eight protons in it by itself. So that means this water got 10 protons in it. This water shouldn't be held together. So I got water sitting still that ain't even supposed to like each other. Because I got 10 protons in there to say, we don't want to be around, but the glue. It's like, now I say it, water. You better do what I say. It ain't even, water ain't even supposed to work. You consume, your body is literally made up of a great percentage of stuff that ain't supposed to work. You know why? Because he said so. It comes together because he said it should. And if God can make the whole universe hold together, help me. What make you think your life gonna fall apart? Every time, we better have a little Brother Lawrence in here. Come on, let's practice the presence a little bit. Every time you look at a body of water, somebody should say thank you. Because that ain't even supposed to hold together. Every time you pour yourself a glass and you got control over something that shouldn't even be in one place, and you take the thing that shouldn't be in one place, consume the thing that shouldn't be in one place, and the thing that shouldn't be begins to refresh you, somebody ought to have a full fit right then. And you talking about, my life is in shambles. When things should fall apart, it's his voice that holds it together. When things should not work, help me, it is his voice that holds everything together. Somebody ought to thank God for his voice. Come on now. Come on. She ought to thank him for his voice. Because see, if it was your voice, you would have tore some stuff up. If it was your boss's voice, if everything had to come together over your boss's voice, maybe you would have believed that you wasn't going to be nothing. If it was all up to your professor, the one who flunked you out of your English 101 class, maybe you would have believed that you was never going to be a good writer. If it was all up to your parent, the one who abandoned you when you were just trying to be a little child, maybe you would have thought that you were destined to be by yourself. But it's not his voice that holds everything together. It is the voice of the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. That means that when I feel like everything is falling apart, that's a lie. The truth is, he upholds. I'm trying to get y'all to fall in love with Jesus again. I'm trying to show y'all he ain't like nobody else. Because some of us, the reason that we done went crazy is because you done put all your eggs in the wrong basket. Somebody promised you something and didn't come through, and you about lost your mind. But let me tell y'all something. I know a man who, when he makes a promise, he's going to make it good. Things shouldn't work. It's his voice. When things don't make sense, it's his voice. It's his voice. Bishop, you're going to have to prove that. Okay, John 1. Still, come on, I got chapter and verse. Let's get it. John 1. I'm talking, we're doing a little practice to presence today. Next time you run your bath water, have a fit. I'm about to be cleansed by something that shouldn't even work. Just have a full fit. The waiter gonna come to your table today when you go out to lunch and pour, would you like water? Just lose it right there at the table. I'm sorry. The waiter gonna be like, are you okay, ma'am? Should I call somebody? No, I'm fine. Just, my bad. I just thought about the goodness of Jesus. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. We're good. John 1. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
The Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 2. Uh-huh. He. Ooh, he was in the beginning with. Never mind. Somebody gonna keep working with this Bible today. He was in the beginning with, with God, verse 3. Hey, yes, all things. This it? It's getting good. It's getting good. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. I told y'all Wednesday I was coming back to this. All things came into being through him. Now, watch, came into being. The phrase in the Hebrew literally means came into existence as never was before he said so. This is not a verse of the Lord rearranging. This is the verse of the Lord bringing something out of nothing. They don't even know where the gluon came from. Gluon has no origin. It don't have no origin. All they know is something there. We don't know where it came from. It don't weigh nothing. We can't really see it. We can only feel it. We know it exists because it shouldn't. Without it, it can't hold together. And the Lord was like, yep, that's me. Because all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Which means, watch this, anything that you think is not of God, he didn't create. Watch this. Let's go further. Somebody wants to say, because there's a verse in Isaiah. I'm not going to go there today. Maybe I'll get there Wednesday. There's a verse in Isaiah about him, you know, creating evil. And people talk about how he created darkness. And one person said that the whole fall was his fault and all this type of stuff. Let me help y'all. You ready? Darkness is the absence of light. So darkness isn't really a thing. Darkness is there when the thing he created is not. So he's light. He made that. He didn't have to make darkness. Darkness shows up when he leaves. You can't go by darkness. You can't go to Lowe's and say, I need some darkness. You can go get light bulbs. You go get all the lights you want. You can't go get no dark. Because darkness shows up when light ceases to be. So if you see dark, God didn't create it. He just ain't there. Watch. If that's true of darkness, it's also true of evil. Evil is the absence of righteousness. It's the absence of God. So God didn't create evil. Where there is evil, it is simultaneously darkness. So the presence of evil is the absence of God. Lord, why do you allow evil to be everywhere? Because y'all don't want me there. Why do you allow evil in the schools? Because you kicked me out. Don't y'all, let's teach in this place. Huh? Why you let evil happen all over the world? Because you keep telling me that I'm not necessary because your credit good. And your 401k is, the Lord's like, if you let me in, I do what no other can do. My voice ain't like presidents. I'm not like prime ministers. I'm not like senators and congressmen. I don't have a term. Yes, Lord. Yeah, I don't get voted in and I don't get voted out. This is why when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, well, all I can say is I am. I am that I am. Oh, come on. All I can say is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. All I can say is I'm Alpha, but I'm also Omega. I'm beginning, but I'm also ending. I'm first, but I'm also last. I know it don't make no sense because I am not confined to your senses. not confined to what makes sense to you. So they're like, it don't make sense. God's like, I know. Ain't it great? How's everything holding together? Me. And without me, everything will fall apart. That should make somebody, oh, I'm about done. That should make somebody desperate for him. Lord, I'm desperate for you because without you, it's going to fall apart. Lord, if you don't put your voice on it, everything going to fall apart. Lord, I need you more than I need everything else. Lord, I desire you more than I desire anything that's going to fall apart. I don't want to walk a step without you. I don't want to breathe without you. I don't want to see without you. I don't want to go nowhere without you. Lord, if you don't walk with me, I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we're going. Huh? I've been telling y'all for weeks. It's something about them old songs been working with me. Oh, Juanita, something about them been working with me. I can't get, and I was sitting here a few days ago. Brittany and I began to think about this message, and all I could hear was, walk in the light. Yeah. Beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus. The light of the y'all. See, it's them old songs that make sense. Huh? That first verse. Hark the herald. Angels sing. Jesus, y'all, excuse me. The light of the world. Glory to the newborn king. Y'all. That's good theology right there. Some of this other stuff. Some of this. Telling him he like a rose trampled on the ground. My Jesus ain't never been no trampled rose. He's like a rose trampled on the ground. No, my Jesus ain't never been no trampled rose. Because you know why? Because that rose has no ability to defend itself. A rose is delicate. That ain't my Jesus. A rose can't defend itself. That ain't my Jesus. See, the power of Jesus is that he could have whooped everybody on the heel, but chose not to. He ain't no rose. He's a warrior who knew how to have a timely death. He ain't no rose. He is the king. He's the great I am. He ain't no rose. He ain't sitting up there delicate, going wither. Roses die when not connected to the vine, but my Jesus is the vine itself. Making Jesus all delicate. Now, he's delicate till you need to be healed. He's dainty till you need to be set free. I'll give you, go to the Colossians text, I'm through. For by him, all things. That's it. How many things? All. In the Greek, all. Aramaic, all. German, all. Spanish, all. Yiddish, all. Ebonics, all. Hood 101, all. For by him all things were created, both in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, come on, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Right there. Right there. Through him and for him. Okay. Go to verse 17 because I'm going to get messed up here. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's right there.
Stop.
See, y'all thought I was crazy talking about atoms and gluons until we say all things hold together in him. This means that everything that is created is actually inside him. God is like, you think there's something bigger than me when the whole earth is full of my glory. This is why we need to run, not walk, to get to him. I know it. What's the Bible say? In him we live and move. See, y'all, see, some of y'all looked at me crazy when I just said that all of us are sitting in him. Y'all was like, that seemed a little weird. To the Bible say, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Y'all, that verse ain't even confined to believers. Everybody is living in him. It's just whether or not you believe you in him or not. When you tap into what you're inside of, you get the benefits of what you live in. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Somebody say, his voice is not like any other. Come on, one more time. Say, his voice is not like any other. Third time, say, his voice is not like any other. Come on, clap those hands and give God praise. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? How many of y'all got challenged by this word? I know. I better know he the greatest power. He'll never be defeated. I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray, if there's anybody here that is not saved, I know it. And you want to give your life to Jesus, this is your moment. If you don't know him, this is before you join the church. What matters most is, do you want to come to know him as your Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I honor you and give you praise. You're good. You're kind. You're merciful. There is none like you in all the earth. Lord, on today, I thank you for challenging us, pushing us beyond our senses, giving us, God, what only you can. And Lord, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know you, let them come to understand just how great and mighty you are. Touch their heart that they may come running saying, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap those hands. Give God honor.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.